Thank you, Brother Tom. Isn't it great to be a Christian? Now unto him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. And unto him be glory in the church through Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. And everybody said, amen. That's what the scripture says, Ephesians 3, 20 and 21. It's always a great privilege to be with you and have the opportunity to speak to you from the Word of God. And it was especially a nice touch to be prayed about before the lesson is to be delivered. I hope we all know and realize if you have been baptized into Christ, one of the great blessings that God gives you is His Spirit. And the Spirit is with us, and the Spirit is among us today. And we pray for powerful help from the Holy Spirit who guides us and keeps us. Well, we've been talking about a devoted church. And we keyed our series over in the book of Acts, over in chapter 2 on this particular verse. States to us that they continued, they being the recent converts, the church, if you will, they continued their steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine or teaching, the fellowship and the breaking of bread, and in prayer. We began with a lesson about the risen Lord, and then we talked about our potential in Jesus Christ. And today, we want to talk about being steadfast. They steadfastly continued in the apostles' teaching. Read with me, if you will, the scripture that will be on the screen for you from the book of Philippians. Of course, this is one of the four prison epistles that are written. And that is important, I guess, for this reason. You might be able to pick up in these initial verses maybe the tone of a man being in jail for the preaching of Christ. And here's the situation or the case with the Apostle Paul as he writes this passage. And maybe there's a few things in here that you might see or maybe hear that he's thinking about as he's in a prison cell, or really maybe kind of a prison house, I think, that he stayed in Rome. We know that he did a lot of good during this time. We know that he was able to preach and teach and have a great influence on many folks around him, even though he was in what we would call the chains or bound confined. Let me begin reading in chapter 1 of the book of Philippians at verse 21. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. I hope you realize that and think of in terms of your heavenly reward at least often enough that it gives you the inspiration to want to continue to live for Christ Jesus. You see, he was saying, for me to live is Jesus, to die would be gain. If I am to go on living in this body, this will mean a fruitful labor for me. Yet, what shall I choose? I do not know. I'm torn between the two. I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is better by far. But it is more necessary for you that I remain in the body. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain and that I will continue with all of you for your progress and your joy in the faith. This is a similar kind of writing to what we were reading by Luke in the book of Acts. As they continued, they did so steadfastly as they followed the apostles and their teaching. Paul is talking about remaining and staying and teaching them because it is a good progress or a good progress and joy in the faith. So that through my being with you again, your joy in Christ Jesus will overflow on account of me. Whatever happens, whatever takes place, conduct yourselves in a manner that is worthy of the gospel of Christ. And then, whether I am come and you see or you only hear about you in my absence, I will know that you stand firm in one spirit, contending as one person or one man for the faith of the gospel, without being frightened in any way by those who oppose you. This is a sign to them that they will be destroyed, that you will be saved, and of course that will be because of God. I don't know if you ever get discouraged in your life. I think you do by circumstances about you. There may be things that discourage you about the Christian life. I hope that's not so. But what would it be from the perspective of God that gives you your potential, like we talked about 2 weeks ago? Jim spoke last week. And the idea of our potential of being a servant of God. What is it that God is looking for? What makes it a devoted church? What makes it a great church? What makes it a steadfast church? What makes a confident, steadfast life in a person? God wants us, you see, to find our security ultimately in Him. All to Jesus I surrender, all to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him in His presence daily live. I surrender all. I surrender all to Thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all. Do we? Have Thine own way, Lord, have Thine own way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me after Thy will. While I am waiting, yielded and still. What is it God is looking for? I will serve you because I love you. You have given life to me. I was nothing before you found me. You have given life to me. Heartaches, broken pieces, ruined lives are why you died on Calvary. Your touch is what I long for. You have given life to me. One more time through. I will serve you because I love you. You have given life to me. I was nothing before you found me. You have given life to me. Heartaches, broken pieces, ruined lives are why you died on Calvary. Your touch is what I long for. You have given life to me. What is it that God looks for? He looks for our service. He looks for our dedication. He looks for steadfastness in those who follow Him. You know this great psalm. It's the one after the one Bob read today. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. And He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul, and He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. And yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me, Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all of the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I know you know that one. You probably can quote that one. It would be a marvelous thing to begin your day quoting the 23rd Psalm, reminding you of what it is that brings about a steadfast, devoted life to Jesus Christ and our Father who is in heaven. I'd even recommend to you the psalm that's written in 103 in verses 1 and 2 in particular that say, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name, and bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits." Every day, God is providing a way for you. All throughout the book, we read about God providing for us. Whenever we needed it, whenever we are looking for it, we can find it. We find that because He loves us. That's a steadfast church. That's a steadfast life. That's a steadfast person. A steadfast, confident life. Having that confidence, as we read, and that's from the King James, having that confidence, or convinced of His will, as it was in the NIV, as we read today. What really is this idea of being steadfast? In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, notice in your New Testament, if you have it, go to particularly verse 58, where he says, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast and unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord." It's interesting that the Greek word there literally means unmovable. Be steadfast. In other words, be still. Don't move. David put us under the drill to stand and be silent. He wanted to illustrate that we could be great silent partners out on the streets or the pavement as the others are knocking the doors and looking for people who want to hear about Jesus Christ. To be steadfast. Would you think of yourself as being a devoted church, a devoted life, was just there supporting someone in that fashion. I mean, most of the time, everybody gets nervous or sick to the stomach when, oh, we're going to knock doors, or we're going to go see someone you don't know, and we're going to talk out loud about Jesus. What is it about that that gets everybody nervous? You know, you could be a person standing right along with them, maybe never uttering a word except lending the person working the encouragement that you're there. Can I get an amen? Are y'all asleep? This is not hard stuff, but it is important stuff. It's very important to remember how much it is needed in our own life, daily kind of living, to sit and to be immovable, or just to be still in the teaching, the doctrine, the reproof, or the correction, the instruction in righteousness, as Paul writes in 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, about the inspirational scriptures to help us do that. Earlier, the apostle has said, O death, where is your sting? And O grave, where is your victory? Why the sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law, but thanks be to God who giveth us the victory in Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, therefore, be steadfast and unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. You see, this is the idea of being a steadfast, dependable person. Physical death is a triumph, even though we don't see it that way all of the time. Wasn't that what the Apostle Paul was telling us as he initially introduced the subject in Philippians 1? I'm torn between the two, you know, doing what God wants me to do and going on to be with Him. That would be far better, he knows, in the eternity. That may be hard for us to think about that. But eternity with God is better than life here. Now, we didn't. I know you're saying, if you're getting a bus up to go today, preacher, I'm not going today. Listen, we all have our time when that will come. Everyone in the room, we're all the same that way. We're looking for eternity. And God is looking for a person to remain steadfast and immovable. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. You know that? A steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore I will hope in Him. Therefore I will hope in Him. Turn over to Lamentations and read chapter 3 and read those great encouragements there. In the book of Hebrews, we have a great passage by the writer there. And he tells us that we are made partakers of Jesus. Partakers of Christ. If we do what? If we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. Yes, our confidence. Some of you probably are too old to remember yesterday or even last week, but can you remember when you were baptized? You came up out of the water. You remember that feeling of, I am cleansed. I am clean. I am free. I want you to know that every day you can feel that way because you are steadfast to the end. You can have your confidence in the Lord to save you then to save you now like He saved you then. I don't know why we get long-faced as the years go on, but we ought to be grinning from ear to ear like possums eating persimmons. Now, You know what I mean? How many of you have ever eaten a persimmon? I'm not recommending them, but if you know what I'm talking about, don't you? Confidence. Steadfastness. Am I talking about people who live without fault? Well, of course not. Because we do not live without faults. But we have to remember this, that we must be steadfast. In this same Hebrew passage, just a verse or two above it, it says, "Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God, but encourage or exhort one another daily while it is still called today, lest any of you be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin." The greatest tool in Satan's bag is discouraging you and getting you to think you'll never make it. You can't live for God because you just can't overcome all of your bad habits. Wrong. Jesus overcame those. And you need to remember to hold on to your confidence and do it steadfastly to the very end, knowing that it was never what you would accomplish or what you would do. It was because God loved you from the very beginning, and that in Jesus Christ and His blood that was shed on the cross saved you and brings you into eternity today, just like He promised that He would do. "These things have happened to me to advance the gospel," the apostle would say about his own particular situation. I know that we don't always view everything that's going on in my life or your life as things that are helping you to be a promoter of the gospel of Jesus Christ. When you're sitting in the jail cell, is that what you're going to be first on your mind? I'm probably thinking most folks are wondering when I'm going to get out. Paul was taking advantage of that he might preach the gospel. God wants people who will be steadfast. Not unbelieving folks, not people who are afraid or who are terrified. God said to Gideon in the book of Judges in chapter 7, "Let the people who are afraid go home. I don't need them. Don't want them in the army. Get them out. All of those who are afraid, just let them go. But the ones who will stay, let them stay." You might remember that initially some 32,000 were called, and two-thirds of them, 22,000, went home. And God wasn't through pruning that army, if you read that story. Daniel writes, and he says in chapter 2 and at verse 44, that "in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break into pieces and consume all of these kingdoms, and it shall stand," how long, folks? Forever! It was Daniel telling about the great dream of Nebuchadnezzar and how God was going to overcome through Jesus Christ, and that is what we have realized when we have allowed ourselves and submitted ourselves into the obedience of the gospel of Jesus Christ, to know that God will bring us into eternity. If we're steadfast, finally, brethren, Paul writes in Ephesians 6 and verse 10, "Finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might, and put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." A promise from God that says He will help protect us. These are words for our confidence, that we would not have an evil heart of unbelief, that we would not have hearts that would be afraid. We would not be terrorized by what's happening about us, but that we could be steadfast and remain faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ. The prophet says in Isaiah chapter 2, verses 2, 3, and 4, that it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above all, and all nations shall flow unto it, built by the Lord, built by God, not built by mankind. And you don't have to be afraid of anything in the Lord's body. If you are a child of the King, the child of God, you do not have to fear anything. My good friend Sam, who is suffering greatly with cancer, Sam Bassett, David mentioned to you today, I had the privilege of introducing him to Jesus, and he had the courage and the strength to put him on, and he has served his Lord. And he told me by telephone about 2 weeks ago, I'm not afraid of anything, Bob. Whatever will be, will be. I'm not only with the Lord now, I'll be with him then, no matter what. You know what I said? Amen, Brother Sam. Now, I may not have the opportunity to see my good friend again on this earth, but I look forward to seeing him again. I look forward to seeing him in that heavenly place. When God is our helper, the church will stand forever. The church will always be. Jesus promised that even death could not prevail against the church. No matter what, the church is going to survive. I remember hearing a story a long time ago by another preacher. He told this story about a man that had a bear that he led through town. Now, the bear was a pet bear, but he was a big-looking dude and rather menacing just to see. And he used to walking through town, spending all of his energy trying to maintain and keep the bear away from people or kids and so forth who sort of picked at his bear. And he said that a fellow walked up to him and said, "Sir, what are you doing?" He said, "Well, I'm trying to keep the folks from picking at my bear and making him mad." The man said, "Just lengthen out that rope. That bear will take care of himself." Amen? I'm telling you, I'm trying to say to you that the church is going to survive. I know we get discouraged about certain other things when we see them happening, but listen to me. When we call upon the Lord and we do the Lord's bidding and we do His will, the church is going to survive. Because we are His people. We are unafraid. We're going to do whatever we need to do and stand for what God stands for. We're going to take heed to ourselves, to the flock, to the Holy Ghost, as it is made the elders, the overseers, to feed the church of God, which He purchased with His own blood. Aren't you glad today that you are a blood-bought member of the body of Jesus Christ? Let your face know it. You know, get your brain to let your mouth know about it. Grin a little bit when you're out there. Somebody says, "What you grinning, son?" I said, "Because I'm in the Lord." I know, you just said, "Well, now that would be strange, wouldn't it?" Well, I wonder how strange it might be. I wonder who might be waiting or just out there that's looking for the confidence that you're showing to them. When we go in the summertime up to Red River, I've told you before that they put up a magnificent tent that will hold about 3,000 people. And it gets in that little Red River Valley up there in New Mexico, the wind gets a whipping sometimes, and it gets cold and rainy, and the tent goes swoom, flop, swoom, flop. It's really great to see the newcomers. Yeah, you know, this is our first time there, because that tent is breathing with the wind, goes boom, like that, and lots of jumping going. Listen, it's not going anywhere. They have driven stakes into that ground that are taller than men. And they have them anchored with chains. Now, I'm not saying to you that the Lord couldn't deliver a wind strong enough to take it up and out of there. He could. But I'm just saying to you, it doesn't bother me in the least. But I remember my first time there. And I worried about that thing considerably most of the time when it started flooping, flopping, floop. I said, that thing's about ready to come down. It ain't going anyplace. The church is not going anywhere. As long as you are sealed under redemption by the Holy Spirit and you are a child of God and you are here, you are representative of the King. Be ye steadfast and devoted. Live your life so you can further the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what Paul said, wasn't it? He finally just said, I don't know what to do, but it looks like God wants me to help you all. And I'm going to take pleasure in doing that and encourage you and not going to be afraid. I'm not going to be terrified, but I am going to help you be confident and steadfast because we walk by faith, not by sight. We're going to come unto me, all of ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest, says Jesus. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. You will find rest unto your soul. For my yoke is easy, my burden is light. I hope you know that today. I hope you'll be steadfast. I hope that you will be one of those who will encourage others to be that way too. Let me encourage you to be a devoted and steadfast believer in the Lord. Would you come today and put Jesus on in baptism? Would you come today and say, Lord, help me. I need to come home. I need to be here with you. Why don't you come while we stand, while we sing?